And we are live for a new episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and I'm joined by Seth Winchell. How are you doing this week, Seth?
I'm good.
Glad to hear. You're coming back from Detroit earlier this week, where you assisted at this massive, they call it the EV Day at GM. And you did a full videos for a full video on it for people who don't know. You talked to it about it for an hour long, answering a bunch of questions. So if you guys want to deep dive on it, I suggest you go check out this video on your YouTube channel. We're obviously not going to spend an hour on that today on this episode, but we're still going to have to hit the headlines here and talk to it a little bit, because there's a ton of interesting stuff that came out of that event. First of all, it was a strangely organized. Could you just give us like your opinions on it and how it was handled by GM?
All right, yeah. So we didn't know anything going in. We had no idea if they were going to show us batteries or cars or nothing or whatever. And they had this like circular dome where they show off their cars. You've probably seen it in Chevy commercials or whatever, where they have like, you know, cars all, you know, in a circle. So they flew us out, and that was very nice of them. They paid for flights and lodging and everything. And I should say also, we had dinner with the CMO and a couple other executives off the record, and we talked about stuff, but there's really nothing too interesting about it. And Brad Berman, who's our San Francisco-based reporter, was also there, and so he and I were kind of, you know, trying to break down everything into pieces so that we could both cover it, and his poster up as well. So we got there, we had a chat with the executives. They told us nothing about the next day except, oh, you're going to be surprised. There's going to be some big stuff. And then, you know, kind of as the night went on and the drinks were flowing, we kind of learned that there was going to be a lot of cars. So, 5:45, we get on a bus. I don't know why it had to be 5:45. I guess the investor day was at 1, and they had to show the journalists beforehand. So at 5:45, we got on a bus. We went to GM's design studio. It was still dark when we got there. We kind of set up shop in their like conference room. And they gave us the thing, like, there's going to be 13 vehicles. I mean, saying that they're vehicles, a lot of them were just like clay with paint on them.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
so they were not all prototypes. There, some of them were, because not only they weren't saying prototypes, they were calling them production vehicles and everything.
Yeah, I would say the Bolt, 2021 Bolt EV, the Bolt EUV, the Cadillac, and the Hummer were all like they turned on. You know, like they were real cars,
working prototypes,
right? And then everything else there, like this Cadillac, man, I can't remember the name. The Lyric was real.
Celestics?
Yeah.
Celestics, I think.
Celestique. Yeah, I think Cadillac's new thing is IQ at the end, which is typical for whatever. Anyway, Celestique was, they didn't unveil that until the very end of the whole production. And it's a crazy looking vehicle. It's like it's hard to explain. It's like a huge, huge station wagon that has like, you know, SUV like room inside, and a big bonnet and a, you know, a huge back area. It's kind of like an SUV, a big SUV brought down to car size. And I imagine it's going to be really fast, and I think they're going to be, it's going to be the flagship. But that's at the end of the event. So, beginning of the event, they, you know, we walked onto this like little area. There's like four rows of journalists and some analysts, and we all just kind of took it all in. You know, there's like 7 or 8 cars we'd never seen before, a few prototypes, and, you know, some covered cars. So it was kind of like, you know, one of those overwhelming things. Like you get a spy shot of one car, and that's like, oh, you want to check out everything. But when you see like, you know, 10 cars that you've never seen before, it's kind of overwhelming. So that was kind of, you know, it was a big moment, I guess. And then Mari Barra, Royce, and a couple other executives talked. It was kind of just mumbo jumbo. What I found really interesting is their battery tech. They're modularizing all their cells. And this is down the road. So the Bolt and the Bolt EUV 2021-2022 are going to have the BEV 2 platform, which is basically the same thing the 2016 had, or 2017 Bolt had. The powertrain is identical. Yeah, it has the 66 kilowatt, but I mean, it's the same charging speed as 2016, which is really a kind of, I dare say, a big disappointment. You know, in this day and age at 50 kilowatt, doesn't seem like they really went.
I guess they justified with the price, like in that price range, they feel like, oh yeah, there's not that many cars that charge faster. Though the Model 3 is pretty close to that price range, depending if you consider that $35,000 to be truly like available. But
yeah, and but you know, other cars with LG pouch cells seem to charge pretty fast, and that's kind of what you know, they're focusing on. So it's a 66 kilowatt hour pack. So let's say, you know, the Mustang, that's a close to 100 kilowatt pack, maybe, you know, 90 kilowatt after they take the reserves on the top and bottom. And that thing charges much, like three times as fast. So it seems like the batteries could take a faster charge. It's probably GM's wiring and battery management system, which frankly, I think they just didn't want to upgrade. Like that's kind of one of the themes we heard, you know, like why, you know, of course me, I'm asking like, why don't you move faster? Why isn't this Cadillac already out? Why, you know, like all these questions. And they're like, well, we plan these things 10 years out and, you know, we can't just turn on a dime and, you know, make better Bolt seats or faster charging. And I'm like, why not? Like you just need a different battery management system and thicker wires. And they're like, oh, it's not that easy. You can't do that. So I'm like, all right, fine. Like, you know, people are going to buy the Hyundai and the, you know, the Konas and the Niros because they charge twice as fast. Anyway, that was kind of the theme. You know, we're a traditional car company. We have the good sides and bad sides of that. Good sides being like, you know, we're predictable. Like we're not going to break down. We have a dealer network. We have modularity and scale that spans the globe. The bad side is like, you know, if something new comes out, it's going to be 5 or 6 years before we implement it. A good example of that is the guy who's the project manager of the Bolt was like, oh, yeah, the infotainment's going to get, you know, over-the-air upgrades. And I was like, yeah, you said that in 2016 and we got nothing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, no, but it's real now. I'm like, you know, what is going to be, what are you guys going to do? Is there going to be like YouTube or Netflix? And he's like, no. And I'm like, you know, what are you guys going to do that's going to be so amazing on the center stack? And he's like, well, we can't tell you, but it's going to be great. And I'm like,
I don't know. I was like they probably built in the OTA capability, but they're like, all right, we have it. Now, what do we do with it?
Exactly.
you need to find ways to things to update after you have the actual capability to update.
You laugh at that, but that's kind of what it feels like. I mean, as a Bolt owner, like, so the first update to the Bolt, I had to do with a USB stick, or I could have taken it to the dealer to do it. And that was after they said OTA updates. And they were like, this time it's for real. But I don't know. I haven't gotten much since then. Anyway, so I would say the big takeaways from the event, and we could probably go through all these posts, but the big takeaway from the event was the modular battery BEV 3 system. And that's kind of what they produced images of. So the idea is they have, so it's mathematical. Each module is about 10 kilowatt hours, a little bit less, you know, after, you know, they don't want to use the top and bottom. So the Hummer, which has a 200 kilowatt hour pack, you know, up to, which is two layers of 12. So 12 on top of 12 is 24 modules. So, you know, a 100 kilowatt hour pack would be 12 modules, and a 50 kilowatt hour pack, which they were talking about. I think that's going to be a future, like small car will have 50 kilowatt hours, would be 6 modules. So, you know, think one module, 10 kilowatt hours. I kind of like that idea. Like, it would be even cooler if they were like removable modules, so that, you know, you're not driving around 100 kilowatt hours, you know, in your daily commute.
You mean like easily swappable? Like you
well, so they didn't say that, and they didn't even imply that. And when I asked about that, they said, you know, no, that's not what we're talking about.
I doubt they want people to mess with their bash module instead of acting like that.
But they did say that they will be upgradable in the future. So one of the things they had is a solid state module. And they said, you know, we're working on this. It's twice as dense as these current lithium batteries. And so in the future, we could either double the range of your car or make the car weigh half as much, you know, in terms of battery weight. So that's, you know, that's a good upgrade path. At least there is an upgrade path. You know, in 10 years, if you don't want to give up your Bolt, you could theoretically get a pack that's half the weight or twice the range, which is something to look forward to. I think, you know, theoretically the prices come down as well. So, that would be cool. I'm trying to think of what else we talked about here. So 400 miles of range, this got put in the like CNN blender a bit, and they were like, oh, it's more range than Tesla. You know, it's a 200 kilowatt hour pack in a Hummer, like 200 kilowatt.
No, but that's not what's going to get 400 miles, is it?
Yeah, they said the Hummer is going to get 400 miles of range.
Oh, this is specifically the Hummer? Okay, because I saw that. I saw modularity from 50 kilowatt hour to 200 kilowatt hour and range up to 400 miles. But I thought like like one of their cars with a 150 kilowatt hour battery or something, like, you know, maybe like one of the, maybe that station wagon Cadillac or whatever, would get that. And think like the Hummer, that thing, if the way you described it, like the fact that like the hood is 5 feet tall and it's just a massive thing, 35 inch wheels,
yeah,
all right, that that combined, you put a 200 kilowatt hour battery pack in it, and I'm a bit surprised that you can get that 400 miles of range,
right? I mean, so divide that in half, that's 200 miles of range on a 100 kilowatt hour battery. That's something like that's kind of equivalent to what the Porsche is getting, really. So maybe there's some wiggle room there. I don't know. So we'll find out. Maybe they kind of implied the wrong things or whatever. Because you're right, that is a lot of range for this kind of vehicle. The Hummer wasn't quite as big as this Cadillac Escalade electric looking thing that they had out there. But the Escalade actually had the same wheel size as the Hummer, which is crazy. And it made me feel like a child. Like I was barely able to see over the hood. The hood is like over 5 feet high. And then, you know, the car goes up from there. It's almost like a semi in a SUV format. So what else was there? The 10 production EVs. Let's see what else. There was a couple Buicks that kind of looked like the Cadillac Lyriq. The Lyriq is a SUV kind of crossover that looks like somewhere in between, kind of like a Model X, maybe rides a little bit lower like a Model Y. But, you know, Cadillac's going to deck it out. And it was like, I'm not a Cadillac guy. Never have been. Didn't think I'd ever would be one. But this thing was really nice inside. Very spaceship like, looked very comfortable. The back seats were like, you know, like almost the best seats in the house. I want to say there was like screens on the back of the two front seats. So this thing is coming to China in 2021 and then, the US in 2022. And I kind of think that the back seat, cause in China, if you're rolling around in a Cadillac, you're probably rolling in the back seat. They like to be driven around there a little bit more. I kind of feel like this Cadillac was built for the Chinese market. So that kind of, you know, makes sense why the back was so nice. And it's going to China first, which is, you know, that part I feel kind of bad about because I think this would do good in the US and I think it will do good in the US. So what else was there? Oh yeah. So the Chevy Bolt, 2021 Chevy Bolt, kind of looked the same as the Bolt that I own and came out in 2016. They did some front fascia stuff. The back is a little bit different. Bolt owners will be able to tell the difference. I think most people won't, from the outside. It's got adaptive cruise control, but it doesn't have Super Cruise. The Bolt EUV, which looks like a stretched out Bolt, more like an SUV, will have the Super Cruise option. And that comes out in 2022, a little bit later. The Bolt EUV will come out at the very end of this year. So, and both of those will be on the BEV2 platform. Let's see what else here. I lost you for a little bit there, Fred. It says you're muted. All right, so I will continue. The Bolt EUV has a 3-inch longer middle area. So the back, basically all that space goes to the back seat. So there's much more room in the back seat. It feels a lot more like a SUV than a, I guess a Bolt would be a hatchback. The back trunk area also is about 2 or 3 inches longer, and it has a faster level 2 charger. So, instead of charging at 32 amps, you're charging at close to 48 amps. That means you're going to get charged up overnight 50% faster, 30% faster than you would in the Bolt. And that's a kilowatt basis, not a miles basis. It has the same, the EUV has the same battery as the regular Bolt, but it will, won't get the same mileage. So it's 66 kilowatt hours. It won't get the same mileage as the regular Bolt because it's bigger and heavier and longer. Trying to think of what else would be interesting. The Hummer is a pretty cool looking vehicle. It'll instantly be recognized as a Hummer. I think 100%. I think the Hummer is like 100% like a Hummer. It's not like a Tahoe that was converted to a Hummer. I would say it looks even more like the original Hummer than. Fred, you're back. Good.
Am I?
Missed you. All right. So I looked at the vehicles. I think the most important is going to be the Hummer. It's kind of like got all the biggest features: 3 seconds 0 to 60, the 200 kilowatt hour battery, the 1,000 horsepower delivered via 3 motors, and it's going to have like torque vectoring, and theoretically it'll be able to do things like tank turns and all the that fun stuff. So what did you think? I mean, a lot of people in the comments of the posts that we did were like, this doesn't seem real. Like, why doesn't GM show the cars off?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, Fred.
Okay, I just lost you. I cannot hear you. The StreamYard is
That's
not liking me at all today.
Those in the room, can you hear us or see us?
All right, I think now it's working.
All right.
Yeah, so sorry, the StreamYard is completely cutting my video and audio arbitrarily. I just said it's unplugging when it's not unplugged. I don't know, your software is not happy with me today. Yeah, what I thought, I mean, the experience from being there, and I wasn't there, but from what I heard from you and watching at home and like just consuming the news around it, it's completely different because of the fact that they didn't want to release any images of it. I mean, if you actually watch the press conference, is absolutely hilarious because they keep, especially the Q&A, because they keep referencing the cars around them because the cars are all around the executive at the company, and they literally point at the car. So when they talk about the car, they point at it. They're like, you see this car right there, and blah, 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 blah about the car. But no one gets to see the car, so we don't know what they're talking about. It's an absolute insanity in time. And especially when they build the whole thing about, like, oh, it's not about press releases anymore. These are real cars. They're going to go in production. I think they really missed the point with that, because if your goal is to convince the public that these things are real, let's show everyone. I mean, of course, like said, you're like you're a reputable like journalist, like we you talk about it, we know it's real now and everything, but still, like I feel like there's something missing here.
Yeah, no, but that's what everybody in the comments was like. Hey, if this thing is supposed to be real, let's see something, like anything, just you know, even a quick pan around the theater would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, they did release this one teaser shot of the Cadillac Lyric. Is that how they pronounce it?
Yeah, the Lyric.
I mean, it's and that's the next one we're gonna see, right? We're gonna see it in April, the 2nd of April. So like that's why they teased it like that.
Yeah, I guess they didn't want to, you know, let the cat out of the bag. They want to kind of drip drop the news.
Yeah, I feel like what their goal was really is they wanted to show their Ultimum. Is that what they call the EV platform, basically?
Yeah,
Ultimum.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like the Philip Morris tobacco company, the Altrium.
Yeah. Anyways, that was what they wanted to unveil there. That they unveiled in full, to be fair. And then they wanted to like tease the fact that we already have like 10 production electric car plan on that platform. It's like, all right, fair enough.
So it looks like your audio went out again. Their mic isn't connected, it says. All right, he's back.
No, it's working, but it makes no sense. I don't know what's going on. They keep kicking me my microphone. I was like, stop talking, Fred, and cutting my mic. Makes no sense. Anyway, yeah, I'm excited about a few of them. Certainly not the Bolt EV. I thought it deserved a bigger update at this point.
Yep.
Than this, like they call it, what, the mid-cycle update. I thought like it's more like a full cycle update you should need at this point, which brings me to the EUV, which my understanding is going to be the Bolt EV. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like the Bolt EV on a different form factor, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So, like, what am I supposed to do with that? I think the Bolt EV certainly could use a different form factor, so it's good on that, but. They needed to upgrade a powertrain, and that's the issue when you do this transition to a new generation of powertrain with the BV3 or now the Ultimum or whatever it's called. There's an overlap, and now the Bolt EV and the EUV, which hasn't even been launched yet, are cut. And so the EUV makes even less sense to me because it's a new vehicle that they're launching and it's still on the old platform. That's a hard sell for me. But yeah, I'm excited about everything else, the Cadillac, the Hummer. I mean, at least I'm excited because there's some new EV technology that underpins those vehicles. That's what's exciting to me. I don't know about the actual form factors they are going with. Like you said, it's all big things. It's giant. It's rugged and whatnot.
Right.
I think I really need to see them in person to have a good idea, which not in person, but at least see it with my own eyes and just not like have a better understanding of what this is all about.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the Bolt, if they keep the price low, right now you can buy a Bolt for around $23,000 starting at. That's a good thing. If they can keep that price point, I think it'll still be popular. It's pretty much the only new EV you can buy, long-range EV you can buy in the mid-20s. I don't know. I love my little Bolt. I think it's great. I don't take it on trips because charging sucks. I like the idea of wireless CarPlay and Android Auto. I think that's fantastic. The seats are much nicer. So one of the big complaints about the Bolt is the seats suck. The seats in this are a world better, electronic adjustment, all that stuff. So they made some small changes, but like the kind of changes that you would expect 2016 to 2017.
Exactly.
People said in 2016, 2017, these things need to change. Like you need a better seat. You need, you know, better infotainment. You need like, just like, the basics. And then this year or last year, they should have said, all right, look, we're going to move your charging up to 100 kilowatt because that's kind of like the basics. And we're still in like an old, so this and the Bolt EUV are going to be like relics by the time they come out. Theoretically though, if they're priced good, maybe it makes sense to have them around.
All right, Gook Wampenzi here brings up a good question. So, what's the timeline for those vehicles? What do we know so far? I mean, we know the Cadillac is coming to China next year, and the US 2022.
Right.
We know the Bolt is coming at the end of the year. The EUV next year, right?
Yeah, at the end of next year. So that's a 2022 model year. So the, at the end of this year, it'll be the Bolt 2021 Bolt, and at the end of next year, it'll be the Bolt EUV. And then the Hummer, we know there's going to be a launch event in, what, April or May? And then it's going to be hitting the streets at kind of right around the same time as the Cybertruck, coincidentally, at the end of next year.
Okay. The Buicks, what do we know about the two Buicks SUVs that were there?
So the Buicks were kind of clay with paint. Okay. So, but they looked a lot like the Cadillac. And I think the idea they said was like, all right, we're coming out with this Cadillac, but this platform that this Cadillac is built on also works for Buick. And, you know, we'll have a cheaper version for the Buick market. And then theoretically, that goes down to the Chevy market, and probably in 2024 or something, we'll replace the Bolt EUV. Kind of far out.
Wait, so they think the EUV is going to last from 2022 to 2024 on that old platform?
Well, so they didn't say that specifically. That's just kind of my take on it. But the idea is like, look, we're building an SUV platform. We can, you know, we can take out batteries. We can put in batteries. We can do a lot of stuff with this. But basically, like, everybody wants a crossover right now. We're going to design a crossover Cadillac, Buick, and then Chevy.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what's coming there. The other thing I mentioned is that Monster Escalade thing, but it looked way bigger than an Escalade. And I imagine there's been rumors of an electric Escalade for a while. I think that's probably like a 2023 or 2024 kind of thing, which is a little late in my book, but I guess better late than never. Did I lose you again?
I lost you. I think I'm still on, but for some reason now it's your audio that's not getting to me.
All right.
It's probably just me. With my,
All right. So
if I remove this,
I can hear you. Let's go to Tesla now.
This StreamYard thing is cheap, but it's not even worth the money at this point.
All right.
Oh, now I can hear you.
Tesla starts shipping Model Y truckloads out of the factory. Let's talk about Tesla.
All right, moving on to Tesla. That came out last weekend. We reported that Tesla started stockpiling some Model Y at the Fremont factory. Now they're shipping them out. They don't seem to be getting that far away from the factory, but Tesla seems to be spreading them around a little bit ahead of the March 15th start. So things are getting starting on that front. We've seen a lot of Model Y news this week. Tesla updating the mobile app to prepare for the Model Y start of deliveries. VIN's numbers are starting to come out too now. Based on that, it looks like maybe 400 to 800 Model Ys are being built right now. So probably wouldn't be too surprised if Tesla can get maybe 1,000 or 2 deliveries by the end of the month. That would be interesting. And we'll keep an eye out on the ramp up. You're going to see a lot of news about the Model Y coming in the next week as we get closer to the start of production. So the big Tesla news this week was probably the new track package, track mode V2 coming out. So that's something that Tesla's been talking about for a while now. but it was finally out this week. Tesla invited a bunch of YouTubers. It was like a YouTube only launch. They brought a bunch of YouTubers and showed them the package. So we got all the information from them basically, and from Tesla's website, because they do launch that package on the shop website. So what is it basically? It's a hardware track ready package for the Model 3. So that includes four new wheels. Those are 20 inch wheels. Looks pretty good. I'm a fan of that design here. They come on zero G performance wheels, they are called the zero G performance wheels. They come on Michelin Paranaut Sport Cup 2 tires. So like this, like almost like semi-slick, like it's street legal, but, race tires. They come with, new brake pads, performance brake pads, and new brake fluid. So when you add that up together, that's $5,500 for a Model 3 package. Like, it's up to you to decide if it's worth the price or not. Well, you keep in mind that Tesla's wheel package, when they get to 20 inch and more, they are pretty expensive to start with. So you get that with the tires on, the new brake pads and fluids. Like, that's not really expensive stuff normally, but because you already have the performance brake caliper on the Model 3 Performance, because that package is only for the Model 3 Performance, by the way. So with that, Tesla also released the version 2 of the track mode. So that's also an update that we were expecting, because there was not really any customization available in the first version of it, and Elon was promising that. So now you can play with it a little bit more. I have access to handling balance, which my understanding is basically just putting more power in the back or front motor. You can turn your car basically in a rear-wheel drive if you want. So that's fun. You can drift a little bit with it with that. That could be fun. You can change your regen from 0 to 100%. That's a great too. And also play with the stability assist a little bit. So that's nice. And then they built on top of that. So that's really like customization aspect that we were expecting. Pretty simple one, pretty straightforward. So that's cool. Then they released a whole other aspect of the track mode, which enabled you to the both leveraging the in-car map system. So they are mapping the racetracks, and you're followed through to the GPS system on the racetracks. So that's cool. They had a lap time tracking on it too, so you can drop a pin where the lap starts, and the system will track your whole lap, so you can keep track of your lap, and that data is downloadable through your storage for that you, the same storage that you use for Sentry mode or Tesla Cam, those features. You just need to add a new file name that works with the lap times, and then you can also record your lap themselves, so just like you do with dash cam, but specific to the track mode. So it would create a file for every lap instead of a 10 minutes recordings like it does for the dash cam. So that's like a fun little feature to put on top of the track mode customization, like just make it fun.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, they could actually turn this, like gamify this. So like you could have the quickest lap at this one particular track, and then, you know, you could race other people. It's kind of like the Peloton of racing, you know, like you're racing other people in the past or in the future. So that's a pretty interesting, cool little opportunity there.
Yeah. Tesla could also like create some kind of online leaderboard. And since they have access to the data. I don't think necessarily the data is getting sent back to Tesla right now. I think it's just downloadable directly to your own personal storage.
Right.
But they could definitely do that, like send it up and everything.
Yeah, that'd be super cool.
Oh, I lost you again.
Oh, I can hear you.
No sense.
Good. You're good. You're good.
No, I know you hear me, but I don't hear you.
All right.
Oh, now I hear you. I don't know what's going on. All right. Next one. Okay, so the track mode was part also of a bigger software update for Tesla that they started pushing, the 2020.8. So if you have a Model 3 Performance and you're getting that update, you get track mode. But there's also a bunch of things in it. The full self-driving preview, that's something that was announced last year, end of last year. That's started pushing in the US, which is basically a new autopilot visualization system that is adding the street lights and not the street lights, but the traffic lights and the stop signs. Now it's also available in Europe, Canada, and Mexico, so not just the US anymore. Third parties charging station being displayed in the in-car map and navigation. That's starting to roll out more broadly in this one. We've seen it last year in Europe, starting in Europe. Now it's also available in California, where Tesla has made that deal with EVgo. So it sort of makes more sense for Tesla to direct some of their owners to third-party charging stations. Bluetooth improvement. This one is it's small detail, but actually can be useful for other people. The Bluetooth connection between your phone and your car won't happen until you sit down in your seat. So Tesla has seat sensors, of course, and they connected the two together so that your phone is only going to pair once you sit down in the seat. Very useful for people that just you're on a call, you're walking around your car, and then your car picks it up before you're actually in it and you can hear them.
Yeah, so I have a funny story. Back when we had a Prius, my wife had a job interview, and she was we only got signal out in the front yard. She was like, "Hey, just go away." So I drove the Prius out, and I was kind of driving by to see if she was done with the call. And as I was driving by our house, I heard like all of a sudden the Bluetooth came in, and I heard the job interviewer, and I was like, "Oh shit!" like, "Oh crap!" And I just kind of ruined her job interview. So this will be good for people like that.
Yeah, because it won't activate until in this case you were sitting in the front seat, so I don't know how it would work.
Well, I don't know.
But yeah. Maybe not for this exact scenario.
Right.
XFAT file support too is coming, so that's useful there's more compatibility with different storage system now for your Sentry mode, dash cam, and now also the track mode connectivity that you can have.
Doesn't XFAT support bigger storage?
Yeah, I think a lot of SDDs are formatted in that format. So you could already do formatted in a way that works with the Tesla's file system, but now it's going to be just easier compatibility with different storage system, including the SDD storage system. One thing is a new updated charge port. That was reported by Green, the famous Tesla hacker who always snoop into the Tesla updates. Tesla didn't mention it in their actual release notes, so we don't know exactly where what's that about, if it's a new version or just a completely new charge port for what specific car. We'll have to figure out later on as the update is more broadly distributed.
What do you think that is?
Maybe a native CCS port on Model S and X in some markets. That would make sense since the Model 3 has it in Europe.
Yep.
That would be my guess, the easiest guess probably.
I wonder how they're going to do that with the light. There's not much room there. The rear taillight switch.
Yeah, they would need to update the
or they back. Or they can do what they do in China and just put like a gas lid there.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a popular feature if they do that. The MCU2 infotainment upgrade is official now. That's something that's been confusing a lot of people. Elon said it's going to happen, and Tesla service says no, we're not doing that. And then Elon says yes, we're going to do it, and then Tesla said all right, maybe. And now Tesla says yeah, we're doing it. It's $2,500 for upgrading from MCU1 to MCU2. You do get better performance on the touchscreen, smoother, more responsive touchscreen, faster browser. And now the Bluetooth, the media album art is going to display on if you have your Bluetooth connection on your phone connected to it. You are losing the radio, terrestrial AM, FM radio. Tesla is moving to just streaming, so MCU2 is not configured for that, so keep that in mind if you decide to upgrade. Gaming, since the new MCU2 has better graphics, Tesla has extensive game like the recent game that they have and a bunch of others. Those are only available through MCU2. You can also only, you need MCU2 to use games that have the game controller. So now you can plug an Xbox controller into your car and use that for the games. So that's only with the second generation infotainment system. Same thing goes for YouTube, Netflix, Hulu, all those Tesla theater things. They go that, the karaoke thing. That's also then the music DJ track system. That's also that. Driving visualization have improved for those of self-driving too, with the full self-driving capability. Dash cam also, full camera recording for Sentry Mode. That's also supported in that. And faster Wi-Fi is also on it. So it's up to you if it's actually worth $2,500. I don't know if I would do it personally, at least maybe not on my Model S, but that's another thing we want to discuss earlier and later. I have a new Model X too, that this one I feel like could use the upgrade. A lot of people with the old MCU having some issues after a few years, it started bugging up and shutting down by itself a lot more. If you're off the warranty on that, you might as well just get the new MCU instead of a replacement one. So for those people, that would make a lot of sense if you're off the warranty. If not, I would probably wait. This the Cybertruck. All right, that's one post that slipped between the cracks when I posted it earlier this week. But I think it's important because we've been discussing this Q1 result here. And we talked about it a few times in the last few podcasts that we were kind of concerned about the Q1 sales, especially in the US now that the tax credit is gone. So I have some good sources within Tesla that's telling me that's not the case at all, actually, that Tesla has managed to keep the momentum from Q4 into Q1. And the U.S., we're just talking about the U.S. here, like not global sales, so Q1 could still be done globally. But in the U.S., Tesla has basically given the same delivery goals to their sales staff in the U.S. as they did last quarter in Q4. So Tesla, and the order momentum is still very good. And I have even one source that's very familiar with Tesla sales that is crediting that to the Cybertruck, really. Calling in the Cybertruck effect, that a lot of people like this has got close to 500,000 reservation for the Cybertruck, and a lot of people that's what brought them to Tesla. The launch was just so popular with the glass breaking and whatnot that it brought a lot of people to Tesla, even though it was for the Cybertruck. The now see electric vehicles as an option, Tesla vehicles as an option. So a lot of them are deciding to buy a Model 3 right now. Some of them are thinking about leasing until they can get a Cybertruck, or just selling the Model 3 once the Cybertruck is available and things like that. So I was really surprised by that, to be honest. Don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Tesla should set up a... Can you hear me? Tesla maybe should set up a lease a Model Y or Model X until your Cybertruck comes out plan. That might be a good way to spur sales, make sure the people get to the front of the line. I can hear you.
Sorry, said that. I think I lost you again. I'm trying to figure it out. You can hear me probably, though. All right, let's just do that then. BMW unveiled the i4. So that's a car that I think should have been unveiled in 2014, but we are getting it now in 2020. I mean, i3 2013, i4 2014, that would have made sense, but no. This car is instead coming next year. And at the Geneva Motor Show, it wasn't actually the Geneva Motor Show because it got canceled, but it was supposed to be there. Instead, they did an online thing. And we get to see the full concept vehicle because the production car that's coming next year is not going to be exactly the same. Looking pretty good. It's a very aggressive Grand Touring Coupe kind of car, but four doors, of course. Very long hood bonnet type of thing. But it's got some cards, has giant wheel on, probably going to be a different option once it hits the market. The interior also very futuristic looking, giant screen, dual screen that goes from the driver's point of view all the way to the center of the car, a bit reminiscent of like the Byton design and things like that. But yeah, very exciting. We talked about the specs before. They just released the same thing they did last time. So they're talking about 150 kilowatt charging, 80 kilowatt hour battery pack for 300 plus miles of range. Of course, they're talking WLTP. They're talking about over 373 miles of range on WLTP. So they should be able to hit around 300 miles on the EPA standard. Well, yeah, you get to actually see the concept, but take it with a grain of salt because the production version should be a bit different.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you can hear me, Fred, but...
I tried to.
You hear me?
If you want to share your opinion on it, go ahead, Seth. I'm just going to try to get to hear you.
A few things. One, I don't think, this, 80 kilowatt hour battery pack, huge bonnet. The inside looks really cool, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be a front runner or a competitor to the Model S or Model 3, just immediately off the bat. I don't even know what they're going to put in that huge bonnet. Like, why does it, like, they have a huge bonnet that's a huge frunk. Maybe they can put a jacuzzi in there. It was something we saw in the Cadillac as well. And I asked GM, like, what's going on? What are you going to put in that big bonnet? Like, is that where the batteries are going to go? Or is that, a big inverter? You're going to have like a 480 volt or something? I don't know. So I don't know. I think the i4, like you said, is a couple years late. Could have been a neat car a couple years ago, but now it seems like it's a little bit behind the scenes. And of course, we're still looking at concepts. Like BMW has been showing us concepts of the i4 for years. Like, so let's see a real car.
Yeah, I agree.
Back to you.
Not gonna hear you now, but I don't know for how long.
All right.
So Porsche launched its own destination charging network. So literally like the same concept as Tesla's own destination network, which is also use the same name and everything. So they pretty much follow Tesla's lead on that front. So level 2 charging station at hotels, restaurants, shopping malls, things like that. Already 1,000 stations deployed. So they are catching up with Tesla. No. Maybe not. I think Tesla's already 4,000 destination charger, but they have money. They can deploy it pretty fast. So great move on the Porsche part here. But I keep saying it. If you need to copy, if you're deploying your own charging equipment for electric vehicles, just copy Tesla's model. It has been by far the best we've seen.
So if you can hear me, what will other cars be able to use it, or is only Porsche?
Yeah, it's their own charger, but it's also they're using a GE1772 charge port, so anyone can use it. It's just that, like Tesla's own destination charger, where they pay for the equipment and everything, they do that. Porsche do that. I think 4 charger per location that they do. It's just that the owner of the property, so the hotel, whatever, they need to provide the charging for free to Porsche drivers, then they can do whatever they want with other drivers. So if they want to charge them, they can or not.
Well, that's good for everybody then. I mean,
yeah, it is. It is. Yeah.
So that's great. Good for Porsche.
Sorry. All right. Last piece of news I want to discuss is I bought a Tesla Model X, which I think might be the cheapest Tesla Model X in the world at $30,000. So it was in 2016 90D. It is a 2016 90D. And so back then, those cars, I knew they would retail for just over $100,000. Got it for $30,000 in 2016. So how I did that, it is not only the cheapest, it's also the highest mileage Tesla Model X out there with over 400,000 miles on it. So it was one of those Tesla Loop vehicle that we're using for their shuttle service. So they keep racking up a ton of highway mileage on it. And now they're sort of changing their business model, Tesla Loop. So they were selling off some of their higher mileage car, including this one, which I managed to get for $30,000. and gonna use it while I'm in Los Angeles, when I'm in the US, which I'm gonna be for a little while because we're working on a secret project that we haven't announced yet, but we will soon. So I need a car to get around. And also, I thought it was just gonna a good story, kind of kind of thing to do. Like, we can get some content on our car because there's just not that many electric cars out there with that kind of mileage, and not many Tesla car with that kind of mileage. So we want to do some content around it. I posted a video on our YouTube earlier today, so you can check our YouTube channel for that. Check the video, and I'm basically asking you guys for question about what you guys want to know about a high mileage vehicle, EV, a high mileage Tesla, high mileage. And we're going to build some content around that to get some deep dive into the battery pack, some deep dive into the high-tech features, the how they hold up after high usage, like the Falcon Week doors, the auto-presenting doors, for passenger and driver's doors, the interior of the car. It's not the white interior. Like, that would have been fun to get, like, how the white interior holds up after such high usage, but there's a perforated seat with the cooling system that has been discontinued now, I think, in the Model X. So we can see how long this lasted and whatnot, everything like that. So you can go back to check that video, post a comment on what you guys want to know, and we're going to do some content around that.
And just for clarification, that's not the original battery. The battery was replaced at 300,000 miles?
325,000 miles. So back then, Tesla was still offering the 8-year unlimited mileage warranty. So it's still on warranty for another 4 years, that car. Not bumper to bumper, but the powertrain. So it did get a battery replacement at 325 miles. Because this is the something that I think I'm going to try to figure that out as part of the content around that car. The 90 kilowatt hour battery pack from Tesla for the Model S and X has been notoriously the worst battery pack that Tesla has ever made for battery degradation, and also for just other problem leading to the battery pack not working, really.
Yep.
But I mean, the last one did last 325,000 miles, which is not bad. I mean, you don't get that many gasoline car at that kind of mileage anyway. You certainly wouldn't even think about buying a gasoline car with 400,000 miles on it. So that's something to think about too. And so, yeah, the new one has 75,000 miles on it, which is also pretty decent. And your Model X is also a 90 kilowatt hour pack, right?
Yeah.
And what's the mileage on it right now?
It's like 36,000 miles. So I've lost, it started out at 256 miles of range, and I'm now at like 230. So I've lost about 26 miles in 30,000 miles, which is not great, but it's, you know, well within the warranty. You know, can't complain too much about that. But we've heard anecdotally that there's been a lot of problems with degradation in the 90 kilowatt hour pack. Mine's at a lease, and I'm giving it back at the end of the year. Hopefully, I'll have a Model Y by then, and we'll be able to get a much better range, hoping for 300 miles, which make our trips a lot easier. Fred, it looks like you're back offline. Do you want to? I think
yeah, I hear you said so.
All right,
I'm gonna let you close that.
All right, so let me just do a quick.
Well, never mind. I do hear you now.
Okay, so let me just
made no sense.
All right, let me do a quick rundown of the comments. So any confirmation on the date of Tesla Battery Day? We all think it's going to be around 4:20. That's just how Tesla rolls. GM's got that event, so maybe Tesla will try to cater around that. When is the GM event on in the second
of April?
So maybe it'll be right after that. I don't know. Elon just tweeted about the coronavirus. Panic is dumb. Thoughts? He just saying what he thinks. I guess maybe he's not affected or doesn't want to shut down the operations or something. I don't know. Thoughts on that, Fred?
I mean, I'm kind of in the middle of the whole coronavirus thing. Like, I think there's definitely a serious threat to a degree. I think also that some people are overreacting. Like, I think it's just a balance somewhere. I don't know if yeah, I mean, yeah, some people are being dumb with their overreaction. So to a degree, he's right. But I don't want to downplay the whole thing too, because it looks like a lot of people is going to be infected at that rate that it's going.
Yeah, I went to a Whole Foods yesterday and the whole water aisle was gone. And I was like, why are people stocking up on water? Like, the water is not going to break. Anyway,
yeah.
So there is some stupid stuff going on. Artie says, if you have a Tesla charger at home and sell your home to a Leaf owner, can you use it to charge, or would you remove the charger and bring it? I would remove it and bring it, but if he gets a J adapter, which
that's you can put on the tip though. Of it.
Yeah, it's what, $200? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. You could. There's two options. You do that, or I mean, if you take out the hardwire, which is not that complicated,
to take out the hardwire Tesla charger, someone could just put a regular 2040 like 1450 NEMA plug there, right? That would be a cheapest option. So,
yeah, your audio for me is a little bit weird, but we'll continue. All right. Yes and yes, you need a Tesla J adapter. All right. Yes, yes, both. We can hear you. All right. So let's skip past that. How much do you think it costs to put a Tesla proprietary port on a car? Any idea? That's a weird question, because I don't know why you would want to do something like that.
Yeah.
You know, with the J adapter, you could theoretically just put that over top of your J1772, and then you would have a Tesla adapter. You could just plug it into that. Like, leave that on your car. Obviously,
you would put the adapter on the Tesla charging station,
right?
And always have a G1772 coming out of it, basically. So then you could plug you could charge your regular EV, your non-Tesla EV. I mean,
Gug Wapahansi says GM presented more vaporware. Let's move on to something else, please. That's what a lot of people are saying. Like, I was there. I saw some really cool cars. I saw some really cool tech. GM isn't letting us show it to you. I just, trust me, it's cool stuff. So I don't know. I guess, you know, you got to trust me. All right. Wouldn't it make sense for Tesla to have a Tesla charging port on the left side behind the turning light like it does, and a CCS combo on the right side behind the right turning light? So you have two options. That could make sense. Porsche does something similar. They have the CCS on the right and a regular adapter on the left. I guess more options are better, but I don't know. We'll see. The GM event was a farce, says Sean Goggin. Talk to us when you ship. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, I guess I don't blame them. You know, yeah. So hopefully GM delivers. So StreamYard, if the dealers do not get on board with the EV sales, GM needs to be ready to implement direct sales. I talked to them about that actually at the we're not supposed to talk about it meeting. And their point of view was that the dealers are big allies. And, the reason that they didn't get behind the bolt was it was just one thing. And when they have three or four different, electric vehicles, the dealers will come on board. I think that remains to be seen. I think there's a lot of denial on GM's part, whether it's real denial or, you know, not denying it outwardly, that the dealers are really messing things up. You know, it was almost impossible for me to get the Chevy Bolt that I wanted from my local dealers, and I still hate them to this day. They keep calling me, asking me if I want to upgrade to a Suburban or something. So not pleased about that. When will these GM EVs be made available? We kind of went through the timeline earlier. 50 kilowatt charging on 60 kilowatt battery is embarrassing. Not going to disagree with that. The Bolt around $35,000. GM is knocking $8,500 off of Bolts right now. If you want to get a cheap Bolt, go to the top of our webpage under autos, and we have an inexpensive cars list where you can get good prices. So audio again. I think it would be a CCS compatible port for the US ports that will let you use an adapter. I would always hold up hope for this. Yeah, it would be nice to have CCS combo on Teslas, or at least an adapter. To a podcaster to get your tech working. I love the content, but the audio is tough. I thought we had better audio, but yeah, but you need one of these things, I guess, right? I don't know.
Well, the mic is fine. I don't, like, it's, yeah. It's the software that it keeps dropping, detecting the hardware and not detecting the hardware. It's the first time it's done it like that. Like, we have either, like, doesn't work at all or it works. Now it's, like, in the middle of it.
Right. All right. I wonder if Porsche will price themselves out of the market with the destination chargers too, like Ionity is doing. I think when you have a destination charge, like, unless it's insane, people are going to use it. You know, if they charge like $20 or $30 for a full charge, it's not going to put anybody out.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla Loop, not Tesla Loop.
Tesla Loop?
I don't think so. Maybe it just sounded right. Ford is jamming the stream. That's a good hypothesis. Unlikely, but Fred, what if you actually have a 100 kilowatt battery pack that is software locked to 90? I think you'd probably know that by now.
No, maybe not. I doubt that's the case, but let me look into it. That might be fun, yeah.
Yeah. Coronavirus is like the stock market. It's all just built on confidence. Okay. Yeah. Fred's audio is tinny. And who wants to take a 10 to 20% chance of death home to your elderly parent? That's a good way to end it, I think.
We apologize for the audio problem for sure. I don't know what's happening with the StreamYard. But we really need to find an alternative to it. Now we're paying for it, so like we want to use it, but we don't know any system that can do live streaming like that as well. So
And when it works, it works well. So
yeah, that's weird because it's a hit or miss because our hardware doesn't change, but like this for some reason doesn't pick it up.
Yeah.
Anyway. Thanks for listening. Give us a thumbs up if you like the show. Next week, we might not be at the same time. We might be a little bit later, 3 hours later because of scheduling issues. So that would be around 7 East Coast time, around 4 p.m.
West Coast. And check out the Electric YouTube channel. We just dropped two good video, I think, today. One on the Onyx from Micah, very good looking moped, electric moped. And I'm also talking about launching my series on the Tesla Model X at $30,000. So let us know what you think, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.